and
any blips on your
screen?
Now we're getting
blips on the needle. All right, you go ahead and say something again.
Okay.
Testing 1, 2. Yes.
Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All right, I think we're fine now. I'm sorry, if we can go back to the Calvin Moore's story, that's interesting. That he knew someone at your place.
Yeah, he had been dealing with one of the department heads before. Yeah, just take this off.
Yeah. And you had not yet bought the Zader machine
for
the library.
No, it took a while for him to convince me that there was anything going on with him. I was suspicious of him because he struck me as being an odd character. Later on, I got to like him, but we had our ups and downs before that.
But when he was at your house, you invited him home that night.
Yeah, I asked him if he wanted
to. And he was taking down all the notes on the conversation?
He was taking notes on what he was saying, which struck me as...
While sitting at your supper table.
Well, we were in the living room by that time, but... Yeah. But he stayed for all these hours and hours of talk and explaining the Zader system and taking notes on exactly what he told me at what time of night and all this kind of thing. So he'd have a legal record of what he had said. And so we had some follow-up correspondence and that kind of thing. And I got interested in the fact that you could use one punched card and get all that information on it. And the fact that he called this thing a dictionary, that we could get the language that the guys used, which was very hard to always understand what they wanted you to do when they asked you to do a search, because I don't know, have you ever been a reference librarian?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you know that they usually don't ask the question they really want to ask, and so we'd have to go through this whole translation process and narrowing it down till we knew what we really should look for in the way of language in the indexes, which were very much behind the literature at the time, and which that was a bad impediment. So anyhow, I thought that I should try to do something to improve on the situation of finding what the men needed who were doing the laboratory work, and which the published indexes were not providing because they were so far out of date
mm-hmm.
by the time they came. They were at least 2 years behind the literature at the time. And so I got real interested in building a dictionary of what it is that Sharp and Dohme scientists studied, and looking through the journals and finding the articles that would answer questions pertinent to the kind of thing they asked,
mm-hmm.
and get them onto punch cards. And I didn't know about machine punch cards at that point. I didn't know much about them, but I looked into how it would be done with Calvin Moore's system and decided it wasn't workable. That they would need too many cards and it would take too much time to do all that searching.
Mm-hmm. But now you bought the Zader system for Sharp and Dohme, right?
Oh, Verway did.
It bought before you were there?
Well, about the time I came or
uh-huh.
something. And I bought some Zader cards and a sorter,
mm-hmm.
Too, at some point early on, and experimented with it and got to know it well enough to know that it wasn't very workable to have all these punch cards made up. It took so long to make them,
mm-hmm.
to type all the information on the body of the card and then do all the coding and punching,
mm-hmm.
and then the sorting. It just didn't seem workable to me. So about then I got to be friends with one of the men in the pharmacology department who was responsible for keeping internal records of research that went on at the company.
And this is Robert Ford.
Yeah, Bob. And he was having some of the same problems as I was, with finding things and keeping track of them. And so we compared notes, and he had been an ordnance in the Army before he came there during World War II. He was an ordnance. And so he knew about coding systems, and he didn't really call it Boolean logic, but he actually had a sense for Boolean logic and was able to think in those terms. And he said one day that he'd been playing bridge the night before with somebody who sold Remington Rand sorter equipment, and he told him about the problems that he and I jointly had, and the guy thought that we should get a Remington Rand sorter that would do the job. And so we talked about that, and we gradually got convinced that we wanted to do superimposed coding on Remington Rand cards and try to do it that way. So we did, and it worked. It was beautiful, except that the sorter was mechanical, and it would always be down just when you wanted to use it or show it off to somebody. And that was very frustrating. So we investigated other machines, and somehow or other we heard about the IBM 101 and immediately got very interested in it. But they had only, IBM had only sold it to the, my notes say the Census Bureau, the Patent Office. Up until then, I had somehow had the impression that it was the Census Bureau that used the 101, but we'll have to check that out.
And what I read, that you said the Patent Office.
Yeah, that surprised me when I reread that the other day. It's probably right, but I had the idea that it was the Census Bureau because they were always the leaders in trying to use punch cards. So anyhow, IBM, I was in touch by this time with vice presidents of IBM who were interested in this coming market of scientific literature searching. They had heard of it, and they thought there might be money in that. And so when they heard that I was interested, they called me and talked to me about it. And this one IBM guy had an idea of his own about how all this should be done, and I got involved in telling him that that wouldn't work very well. And so he came to visit me, and we had a lot of discussion, and he finally got convinced that what I was doing was interesting and that he would see to it that I got a 101 to work with if I had the money to rent it. And so then I had to convince my bosses that they should rent this machine. And Bob Ford's boss said, well, he was interested. He put some money toward it. It only cost like $300 a month. But
that was a lot of money
back
that
then.
Time,
yeah. And so I made up this argument that it would do more work for the library than two professional searchers in the same amount of time. And it would cost less than the least paid clerk. And somehow that story got bought, and we got to rent our 101, and that was a joy. And Bob and I together decided how the auxiliary equipment that we wanted to put on it should be built so that you didn't have to plug these wires every time you wanted to do a search. Mm-hmm. You could have the basic program in the wiring board and just dial in the code numbers for the words that interested you that particular search. And Bob was a big help, of course, in doing that. And that worked. And by 1952, I was able to write my thesis about it. Not that the dean, I've never got on with deans all my life, but the dean at Drexel said this was nonsense and it was not thesis material and I should forget it. But there was one of the teachers there who saw some merit in it.
Who was this?
Margaret Kale. She was just one of the professors. And I'd had her for a course, and she got interested in it and told the dean that she'd supervise my thesis if the dean would allow me to write on it.
Now, this interest in the punch cards began from your reading or knowing about the Zader machine, and so you played with a group of those cards, tried some of your information retrieval problems or searching problems,
mm-hmm.
and it was only moderately successful with the Zader, or just too much work?
It was just too much work, but it worked. It worked, but it was just too slow and too cumbersome for us to try to, to do 20,000 references a year.
It
just was going to get out of hand. And we had to go back a number of years every time we did a search. And, we were just going to get a huge number of cards that was unmanageable.
And you were doing the secondary literature, not internal reports. What kinds of stuff?
I wasn't doing internal reports. Bob Ford was.
Uh-huh.
And so it was both kinds of literature that we were searching. We kept the cards separate, but mm-hmm. we're using the same dictionary.
Mm-hmm. And 90% of this is chemistry or pharmacology stuff.
Chemistry, pharmacology, physiology, yeah. Mm-hmm. But some clinical stuff, because we served the clinical department as well. And so we knew what kind of questions the clinicians asked. We tried to serve them too. And actually their literature was bigger in some ways than the chemical physiology literature, because there was so much, medicine is such a broad subject that it was a lot to cover.
Who made, let me just stop this and switch tapes here.